Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I think for me, it means never understanding when people say they need to find a hobby, or like I don't understand what people mean. Not because painting's a hobby to me, but how does one have time left to like figure out what you want to do today? Like, or what books have you read? Like, books? What? What about podcasts on my way to the next thing, right? So for me, I guess it's just a part of my life. It's the part that you fill up that's left over, and the time that's for you to remember that you're a whole person yourself, and maybe an act of defiance for those people who say that you can't do all the things. And most artists stop making work when they do they? Well, I'm not going to. So when am I going to do that? Let's find a time. And I think so. Painting at night is like a small act of defiance for a parent who wants to be able to do all the things and prove, even maybe just to herself, that she can keep doing it.
So welcome to Painting at Night 2021. We are in Fort Wayne, Indiana at this amazing exhibition, and it's just such an honor to be here. Really just wanted to say a big thank you publicly to Ellen and Lynette at ArtLink for partnering with us and hosting. They have been so amazing, such a joy to work with, and just I feel like have given a lot of care and detail to communicating with you guys. And I know especially the work was handled super amazingly. Ellen worked really hard to install all this. There's some tough installations in this show. Yeah. Ellen's nodding over there. She's like, yes. So just wanted to acknowledge that labor and the partnership, and just really grateful. And I just feel so lucky because I've only lived in Fort Wayne for like a year and a half. And so, you know, it's just nice to have this connection. Speaking of this connection, I want to give a public shout out to Hannah Burnworth. Woo-woo! Who, Hannah, is here today. She actually is the whole reason this show is here. She was like, you should pitch Painting at Night to ArtLink. I bet I'm on the board. I bet we can get it accepted. Nice. And, so, Hannah, you're really the real reason that this show is here. So that's amazing. Thank you.
Yay, Hannah.
All right. And I never get to do this publicly. I need y'all to help me. Thank you, John, for all you do to make us sound good. From time to time on the podcast, I'll say something nice about John, but you know, he doesn't get a lot of public recognition. He'll make y'all sound really good. He'll try to get the HVAC out. It'll be good. So Painting at Night is our annual exhibition. It is the Artist Mother Community's group show. And I just wanted to say something to everyone listening, whether you have work represented in this show or not, and just acknowledge that this particular show is a very small collection of the incredible work that is being made in our community. So whether your work was included in this particular exhibition or not, please know that you are admired, cherished, and respected by all of us here today. And to the artists who couldn't come to the show, to Mindy and Robin, and you know, those of you who wanted to be there today, just know that we're thinking of you and celebrating with you. So today I am so happy to be joined by our juror, Melanie. I'm going to ask Melanie a few questions. And then three amazing artists who have work in the show, Beth Welch, Stephanie Zito, and Ty Lipan. Thank you three for being here, and Melanie for coming up from Bloomington. So to start our conversation today, I wanted to ask Melanie just a couple questions about your experience during the show. So what was it like? Kind of seeing all this work? There were almost 450 artworks submitted. We have 63 art pieces selected in the show, and 54 artists are represented. So tell us all about it, Melanie.
I would love to tell you all about it. But I also first want to say, because we're live, we're not live, but Kaylin, I'm gonna get a little verklempt. What do I want to say? I want to say thank you to Kaylin.
We can cut this part out.
We're not gonna cut this part out. We're not. Okay. So here, this is what I really want to say, Kaylin.
Oh, shit.
Explicit. You have to go explicit.
It's the mothers.
I feel like during this show has brought me back to something really important. And that maybe I didn't know was, like, out here in terms of, like, okay, so even if it's just right here in this room of you 20 people or something, I feel... Like the word resonance is going to come up again. But the presence of people who are incredibly talented and thoughtful and, I don't know, like earnest, like there's so much like earnest love energy in this space. It's weird. That's not my, I'm a little stunted in the art academic world currently, and this feels like so much air. So I just am, I'm trying to suck that air in from all of you, and I just really see that you had a dream, Kaylin, and through doing that, or you saw like a spot that you could push into, and that you did it, and now it's growing, and it's just gonna keep growing, and it's gonna keep growing. And the respect for your community is there, and what you're showing the world through this community is there, and you're just perfect at it. And so, damn, I'm the lucky one, for real. I really am. I'm so thankful that Lynette at Artlink recommended me, and that I was just connected in the ways that things happen. So, yes. So my experience during the show... I think is I will find yet to come, kind of. I feel like seeing all of the work put forth by these artists, and truly it is like it was overwhelming to see the 450 excellent submissions. Like there really were so many. And it really sucks to be like, no. You have to be like, But Kaylin, we had to really practice editing. I had to practice editing. I loved that.
You were like, wow, you know how to say no.
Kaylin does know how to say no.
It's okay. We can.
Yeah. And it was like, she's like, don't worry. We're not going to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm like, but through that act of saying no, I was also reminded of like, I got to experience the same experience, which is what we all have in the studio, which is like you have to edit to make the work stronger.
Yes.
And so we had to edit. And through each like follow of the gut with each piece, right? Of like, okay, I think this one, you know, the definites of, you know, this is really speaking to the language we want to share throughout the space to make a cohesive show. So yeah, I just have mad respect for the women and caregivers in this show. I think I'm incredibly inspired that even through all of the really hardship is my perspective on parenting. others like Britney Spears. What's your name?
Marin.
I feel like Marin's piece shows the joy of creativity and parenting, and you have to see the video. It should be here. But anyways, so that there's just this much richness, and this is just like the tip of the iceberg, right? Mm-hmm. There's an iceberg of creativity in each one of us, and you've showed me the tip. Mm-hmm. I got to see a tip, and then there's this massive landfall in each one of you. So that's just fucking awesome. Okay, so I'm really excited to hear from these three some of my favorite pieces. Well, you're all kind of my favorites, but I'm going to... anything else?
I just wanted to ask you more specifically. That was amazing. You're amazing, Melanie, and you did such a good job. Just wanted to ask you more specifically why you think work by artists who are parents... like, why is it important to show the maternal experience? Not that all of this work is necessarily about that, but I do think there's a lot of work being made in our community that is about the maternal experience, and that kind of work often doesn't get a lot of...
Yeah, because we got to shout the out. I feel like it's a taking of space, and it's also so important for every mother that is going to see this show and is going to become a part of this community that is feeling like they can't make work because they're a mother or they don't know, you know, like the resources that, that the community is bringing in. It's just like, and it's badass. It's wonderful work. It's on par with all artwork out there. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like it is the resistance and just the voice, you know, like, okay, yeah, you're a mother and, yeah.
Thank you. Melanie Cooper Pennington. Make sure you listen to episode 108 with Melanie. 108, right? Where she talks about her own work and her journey as an artist and parent. Such a great episode. I know several people already listened to it. They were like, I listened to it like 3 times already. I'm like, it's only been out a week. What? So thank you, Melanie. Yes, you should. Okay. Our three panelists, thank you all for being here. So excited to have this conversation with you and just appreciate the opportunity to finally share physical space together. So if all three of you could share briefly to start where you live, if you have another job outside of being an artist, and tell us a little bit about your family. We'll have Beth start here and we'll go down the row.
Okay. Hey, everyone. My name is Beth Welch, and I live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I am the exhibitions coordinator at the Louisiana Art and Science Museum, and I have a 3-year-old boy. And then what was the
that
other?
Was it? Is that okay? That was okay. Good, perfect. Stephanie?
I'm Stephanie Zito. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I, in addition to my role as a mother, I am a yoga instructor, and I also run an Airbnb inside our house. And I have 2 kids, Hudson, who's 2, and Harvey is 5. And I live with them and my husband and our 2 dogs. My husband's name is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. Ty.
Hi, I'm Ty Lipan. I'm an Indianapolis-based artist. I have 3 children under 11, I guess. They're all aged up. So I have a 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And I have been working for 19 years as a professor of painting. And so sometimes gallery directing as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dig into talking about your life as an artist. Curious to know and have you guys share maybe something about your childhood that you feel like connects to your life as an artist today. Wondering if you always wanted to be an artist, or what is kind of the thread that you feel like is pulled through. Let's start back here with Beth.
So I always wanted to be an artist since I was about 5. Mm-hmm. And it was a way to differentiate myself from my 4 siblings. So I very much took on the role of being the art kid. And like the role of the artist today, it's a bit more literally painting at night. So I draw mostly in my studio after my kiddo goes to sleep. And I tell people, even when I introduce myself, like I'm an artist.
Yes.
And then like follow up with, I also have the museum job, but yeah.
Did you go to art school?
I did. I went to Louisiana Tech University and got a bachelor's in fine arts.
Nice. Okay. Stephanie, what about you? Just something connected to your childhood that you feel like is a part of your artist life today?
I always wanted to be an artist. I feel that since my family, we moved around a lot, and I feel that art was always kind of the stabilizing identity that I kind of held to throughout a lot of those shifts and moves. Everywhere that we went, I was able to just show up as an artist. And it was really from the time that I could hold a crayon. And it just was something that was always with me. And interestingly, too, I think that one of the things that connects to my art making today is I had from a very early age, maybe it's consistent among all children, but just an inclination to make something out of something that was in front of me, you know? Mm-hmm. So using packaging or whatever it is and just construct something new out of it. And to the point where my mom would start to kind of set aside different materials and things like that. So I think it's been a through line to this point that I'm looking at things that are available in front of me to kind of transform. Mm.
Thank you. Ty, what about you?
Yeah, it's always like you. I've always thought that's what I was going to do. My dad had a wood shop growing up, and so my playhouse was like above the wood shop. So I would watch him like working on things and just kind of run down and sand stuff for him or do whatever. So that kind of tactile experience, working with your hands, making things, and particularly the creative process is a way of like engaging with the world. So he had the wood shop as a consequence of trying to stabilize his mental state. So it was what he did to try to deal with that. And so that is a part of like a life thing bigger than just a, like, you know, a hobby or a thing you make to sell, or but a thing you really need to do has always been really a part of my experience. So I always thought I would be a painter, and my mom really leaned into that, supported me with art books, etc. I took myself very seriously, outlining like all the artists, you know, I was like really took myself seriously. And so now, years later, the last 3 years, which we'll talk about, I think, but I've been working with wood again. So that's interesting and found its way back in a way I wouldn't have expected and certainly didn't force. So I'm sure that was part of my, you know, early experience.
I'm thrilled to partner with our new sponsor, Cozy, to tell you more about this incredible app. Cozy is an app that specializes in keeping busy families organized. It's an app designed for multiple users to help you and your spouse, partner, or caretakers juggle school schedules, practices, meetings, doctor's appointments, and more. Cozy tracks everyone's schedules and events in one place with a shared color-coded calendar. A feature I love is the app reminds others about your family's events so that you don't have to be the one who does that. It's easy to get started. You can even pull in events from your family's existing personal work and school calendars. You can have Cozy send everyone in your family a weekly or a daily email that shares your agenda. And I personally love the meal planning section. You can create a shared grocery list that lets the whole family add items in real time. So you'll never find yourself at the store without the list. Not that that's happened to you, but it's happened with me before. That list is always on your phone and it's up to date. If you need help figuring out dinner, there's even a place to store recipes and plan meals ahead. The best part? Cozy is free. Just download Cozy, C-O-Z-I, the Family Organizer app from your app store. That's Cozy, C-O-Z-I, and get the free app today. Visit your phone's app store or Google Play to download Cozy today. Start feeling more organized and keep your family communications simple this season. Thank you so much, Cozy, for sponsoring the Artist Mother podcast.
Let's start back with you, Ty, and I just want you to talk a little bit more about your work, some, you know, give us some context for the processes that you use and the materials that you're making, and maybe describe it visually for someone who hasn't seen it before.
Sure, I'd love to. Actually, because of the relevance to this conversation, I had been painter, painting for probably 15 years, and I started a shift in my work when my son was having a birthday party, and I wanted like a prop to like make a cool thing. So out of a total sense of play, I like made this wood construction that I did not take seriously. And then, you know, a year later, upon reflection, I was like, wait, this is a thing. Like, I think I can build paintings in a way that feels more natural for me in mm-hmm. this use of material. So I think of myself as a painter, but my paintings are out of layered wood, balsa wood, that are hand cut on my bedroom floor by my bed at night. So mostly out of choice, as a way of like escape my mm-hmm. world, to find a safe space to just make a thing. So that's what I've been building. The work is, the content of the work in this show is related to a broader work that's more about architecture and spaces as ways to sort of protect vulnerable things, which is kind of has been a leading idea in my work for 3 years. So the work in this show is relevant to that work.
Mm, awesome. Stephanie, can you describe your practice and some of the materials you use and a little bit about what your work looks like visually?
Sure. So the materials are a big part of what drives my work. And I'm a mixed media artist, but I work a little bit more specifically in the fiber context. So using both fiber materials, but also fiber techniques like mm-hmm. stitching and weaving and knitting and just different things like that. So the works that I've been exploring more recently have been involving natural dye and repurposed materials. And with the direction that my work has been going, I kind of sit with the materials and let them lead the way that the practice and the way that the final outcome of the piece is. More recently, that's been exploring soft sculpture. Mm. But I do a lot of different other kinds of techniques too. So
awesome. Beth, what about you? Can you describe your work and a little bit about your process?
Sure. So my work mostly pertains to memory and motherhood and kind of the complex layers and mutability of those two subjects. I draw mothers and their children in highly detailed, very realistic drawings on vellum, and I do layers of vellum. So the mother is always on the background layer in charcoal, and the children are always on the foreground layer, but in pen and ink. And I get really specific about the materials because I find that charcoal is very fast and kind of quick and a little bit rushed, and I often feel that way as a mom. And also, like, no matter how much effort I put into my appearance, a lot of the times that kind of gets quashed the second that I get something spilled on me or somebody pulls my hair or something along those lines. So I did kind of this faster medium. I also like that it isn't taken as seriously in the art mm-hmm. world. A lot of the times charcoal is this beginner medium and no one like really considers it a high art form. Usually they're a little bit cheaper cost-wise mm-hmm. because it's not an oil painting. So I also feel that that kind of reflects motherhood in a lot of ways. It's not valued in mm-hmm. a lot of contexts, especially in the amount of labor it takes to raise a human. And then the children are rendered in pen and ink because I feel like every mark that I make on that sucker is permanent. And I feel the same about my kids. I'm like, how many marks? Like, how much therapy are you going to need if I make this decision? And so I feel like so many of the things, it's also a painstaking medium. When you're doing a large pen and ink drawing, you feel like you're never going to finish it. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're pulling your hair out and it takes forever and it's mm-hmm. so tedious. But yes, but when you like step back, you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. It's like, you kind of do the same with your kid where it feels it's the longest days. You feel like they're never going to get older, but mm-hmm. then they do. And you're like, oh, look, you made a good decision. Good job. So, I put a lot of, meaning into my materials and kind of the thought process behind them. But the whole series kind of started when my mom got diagnosed with her dementia diagnosis. And so processing that was really hard. Mm-hmm. And so, to handle the hard shit in life, I find that it's a lot easier to kind of like draw it out mm-hmm. and kind of create empathy in the viewer to like see their mom in a different light and to see how they are perceived and how often the moms get pushed into the background of their mm-hmm. own life. And then all of my titles are questions because they're all the questions that I wish I could ask my mom, but I can't. So.
Okay, we'll come back to you, Beth. Ty, can you tell us about the specific piece that you have in this show? Maybe share the title and what the specific work sort of means to you.
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine someone not seeing it and talking about it. So I'm going to try
to they'll see it.
Briefly.
Well,
okay. Yeah. So this work is out of that larger body of work I was talking about, thinking about like vulnerability and structures and light as metaphors. But this specific piece was in conjunction with another one, both happening during the quarantine lockdown, just kind of happened. So I was already working on that work, but then this certainly shifted for me the idea of what it means to be in an interior space and to be the inner part of that space. So one of the works was understandably more about feeling trapped. And then this work that's in this show, the color palette, the light in it, which is the more interior space, is really, really warm and vibrant. And I entitled it Flush because I think that sense of like, you know, that human quality and what happens in us when, you know, we're affected by other things in the world. I feel like that's kind of what the painting is doing. So the architectural elements in that one, I see as sort of more the what's going on in the world around me, trapped inside doing this thing. But it's also, it's a triptych. You could think of it that way. There's a focal panel and it's larger and there's this really warm triangular light coming down. And when the light hits the lights from the two side panels, there's like this sort of magical moment that happens. And being kind of inside with my family for that duration of time, I really felt like there's this beauty and warmth and just have, you know, like many of us felt, and just having to focus our time on each other. And that even though there are these like structures or constraints on this world, I think that I just felt the beauty and joy in that and the warmth that we could be for each other, the support, the effect you can have on each other as a parent, you know, moving through this space and time with these children and what I want it to be for them. So I that painting just sort of became perfect at that moment for me. And I think I hope it transmits that kind of like joy and warmth and radiates for other people the way that time was for me.
Love it. Stephanie, can you tell us about the specific piece you have in this show?
Sure. The work that I have in this show is called Margin Expansion, and it is a large-scale soft sculpture. It's long and linear, draping from the ceiling to the ground, and the visual of it is referencing the margin of like a canary yellow notepad. So thinking about just lists of things to do. And I feel that this piece is about, you know, just my relationship to time and how I'm pushing so many things into the margins of my day, of my time. And those margins are, you know, since it's a soft sculpture, it's stuffed. So there's that element to it, but the materials as well, are made from retired linens that were actually from my Airbnb. So it's from like some, you know, labor within the house. And, I dyed them with turmeric as the natural dye, and turmeric is known to be a pretty what's called a like a fugitive dye, where it disappears over time, and so it's not super light fast. And for me, that speaks to kind of the nature of time as well. And then the turmeric that I used is from tea bags that were spent, and other materials or other dyes that were used are from cabbage and from avocado. So it's really just using like kitchen scraps and thinking of kind of scrapping together my time to make something. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about the piece, but I like thinking of it too as you know, the essence of time as we think of it is so linear, but I like that this piece also kind of has a dimension to it, mm-hmm. To help me kind of think about my time a little differently.
Awesome. Okay, Beth, can you tell us about the specific piece you have in this show?
Yes. So during quarantine, I kind of started this new series with the vellum layered drawings, and I reached out to a bunch of my artist mom friends, and I said, "Do y'all have any pictures of you with your kids?" And so I actually got one from Kaylin, and so this
you're like, "You can't be smiling at the camera."
I was like, it has to be a candid, which I'm is like, really
and all
hard.
Of us were like, "We don't have any pictures of ourselves with our kids."
I know, and then
unless it's like a selfie,
yeah. And then the other thought process behind that is like.
Husbands, partners,
yeah.
Come on.
Like, take pictures with your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and don't just do the smiling selfie. Make the tangible memory ones. Like, mm-hmm. and put your whole body in it. Like, let us see you mm-hmm. as you are with your children and how you interact. But so this one is actually a depiction of Kaylin and two of her three children overlooking, it was in Tennessee, right? It was mm-hmm. on a hike, and it's kind of, you see these bramble, I don't know, mm-hmm. like very woodsy. And it was, I think it might be one of my only ones with a background, but it's titled, "Are You Ever Afraid of the Wilderness?" And it's, I really loved kind of the composition of this one because there's so many times when we're looking out at the world that we see and it's a difficult view mm-hmm. and it can be really scary at times and it can be hella uncertain, whether it's within your immediate bubble or the world as a whole. And you kind of have to look fearlessly on and lead your kids into it. And we don't know where we're going, but we're just hopeful that we're going in the right direction and kind of leading them into it. So I love that it's kind of like you looking out mm-hmm. on all of this, and you've got both kids kind of in your arms, and mm-hmm. you're just, you know, proudly looking like up almost. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was a really nice composition. So,
and I love that you said too that particular piece has a lot more detail. Like, I think that's what sold Melanie on that piece. We had specific conversation just because that, you know, you often have like a more space yes. around the figures, so which is intentional. I know
it is. Yeah. So yeah. I usually put a good bit of negative space because I want the void of the background to kind of serve as a memory in of itself.
Right.
So it's like the lack thereof of background allows you to put in different ideas of your own, and it mm-hmm. kind of creates this door that the viewer can enter through. Mm-hmm. And also I love that it kind of makes you feel alone mm-hmm. in some ways, because sometimes motherhood can feel like the loneliest place, even though you've got like a tiny human with you all the time, mm-hmm. all the time. And so like, I love that there was kind of this silence around, mm-hmm. but yeah, so I saw the brambly kind of just about to be fall or spring, something along those lines. So I thought it was a really beautiful piece, but kind mm-hmm. of that feeling of mm-hmm. being overtaken by this natural landscape.
Love it. Okay. Beth, what does painting at night mean for you and your practice?
That is usually the only time that I get to work. I usually put my kiddo to sleep. It was around 7. It's looking a lot more like 8. And then I will go into the studio in the evening. And even if I get 25 minutes, it's mm-hmm. a win. I'm making an effort, not a masterpiece. Like, I'm just trying to get in there. It's extremely difficult and it's always worth it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so painting at night is a life source because it's the one thing that I do, quote unquote, selfishly, mm-hmm. like just for me. It doesn't matter if anyone sees it. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if it just lives in my studio. I desperately need it mm-hmm. to create something from nothing, to process the world around me, to process the grief that I feel, to mm-hmm. process that disconnect that I feel, and kind of reconnect with that. And I am a better person at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, it really is like a lifeline. Like, I don't know what I would do without it. Mm. So that's what painting at night is to me.
I love that. Stephanie, you've already very directly talked about this in this specific work that you made, but just more tangibly curious to have you share what quote unquote painting at night means to you and your art practice.
Sure. So painting at night for me, I don't paint at night. I go to bed really early so that I can wake up with vigor and enthusiasm to take some time. I'm really diligent about like my morning routine with like morning pages, and that's where I process through a lot of my thoughts is really on, honestly, that yellow canary paper. So I take some of the ideas that I'm working with from that point, and in the margins of my day beyond that, that's usually when I am able to get some work done in my studio. So I really bank on nap time. And if nap time doesn't happen, I'm, you know, probably not able to get anything done that day. And that's, I'll try again tomorrow. So, but yeah, right now with where I'm at, it is just always having art on my mind, but also kind of letting it just arrive whenever it can. So being ready for it.
Ty, painting at night, what does that mean to you?
Well, same. Yeah, but I think for me, it means never understanding when people say they need to find a hobby, or like I don't understand what people mean. What, like, not because painting's a hobby to me, but how does one have time left to like figure out what you want to do today? Like, or what books have you read? Like, books? What? What about podcasts on my way to the next thing? Right. So for me, I guess it's just a part of my life. It's the part that you fill up that's left over, and the time that's for you to remember that you're a whole person yourself. And I think it maybe an act of defiance for those people who say that you can't do all the things. And most artists stop making work when they do they? Well, I'm not going to. So when am I going to do that? Let's find a time. And I think so. Painting at night is like a small act of defiance for a parent who wants to be able to do all the things and prove, even maybe just to herself, that she can keep doing it.
Woo!
Yes.
I know, I'm like, chills.
Enrollment is open for the sixth round of our popular Crit Group Crew program. The Crit Group program places you in a group of 3 to 4 women plus a mentor, and this time a visiting artist or arts professional. Your group will meet over 3 months, providing an intimate network of accountability and encouragement for each other. Signups for this program right now are limited to just twice a year, so definitely don't miss your opportunity to join us. This program is really for you if you want constructive and helpful feedback on your work, if you have questions that you might want to wrestle with over time with the feedback of a small group, if you're looking to connect with other artist mothers, if you're needing the accountability of peers and others who are engaged in an art practice, if you don't really have a lot of people in your life to talk shop with or discuss your work, if you need connection with other artist mothers, but are limited in the time you can commit to building your own community. And this program is really great because it's all done through the flexibility of the internet. It's a virtual program, so your group will meet on Zoom and connect over another channel like Instagram or WhatsApp. So it's really catered to your own schedule and needs of the specific group. And really, we love this program because it just provides you with that deep engagement about your practice that it's hard to get from social media or more short-term relationships that you build within the art career. So as I mentioned, a new aspect of this program is that we are pairing each mentor with a visiting artist or arts professional who will visit your group to give critique on your work. So you can consider the role of your mentor as your facilitator, your encourager, your cheerleader, and then the role of the visiting artist or arts professional that's paired with your mentor is to drop in and give you solid feedback on your work. So you can expect to receive in-depth feedback and critique on your work, weekly connections and conversations with your group facilitated by your mentor.
the opportunity to perfect and present an artist talk to your group, access to the Artist Mother Network, which is our online platform created specifically for our community. Plus, there will be 3 special programs on our network for all of the CRIT group participants. We are so excited about the changes and the tweaks that we continue to make to this program. We're just trying to get it to be the best it can be for everyone. And we have a stellar lineup of mentors and visiting artists this time around. You never know who's able to commit and what seasons of life will bring them into a mentorship role. So if there's somebody you see on our roster, definitely don't miss your chance to sign up and work with that person. Enrollment is open now, November 22nd, until groups are filled, and space is definitely limited. Thank you, everyone. Happy holidays, and we hope to see you in CRIT Group.
Okay, let's talk about compromises. Have you made any compromises in your art career for the sake of motherhood? Ty, can we start back with you?
Yeah, I am sure I have. I was thinking about this, and I think I am pretty good at keeping a lot of balls in the air. Like, I have a job. I have always actively painted in my own way. I'm trying to show the work. The thing that I'm not great at, and that I think the place in which I compromise is community with other people. So, you know, going to see other people's shows or getting to know people in the art community or making space and time for that social aspect, which we all know is deeply important, is the single thing in which I cannot keep up with. So, that is what I lack, I think. The other things, I know if I pushed more on one or another, I could do better, but it's all kind of enough and I'm okay. But I think that's what I sacrifice, is that sense of community. So, hi. Well, it's nice to meet you all.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the mission of this community, is like providing space for you to experience it without having to compromise, right? It's like you can show up in all the ways that you exist here, you know? Stephanie, compromise. How have you made any compromises in your art career because of motherhood?
I think this is an interesting question for me, because right now, obviously, my time is what feels to be the most compromised. But I will say that while I've always seen myself as an artist, I have gone through a lot of periods of time where I wasn't consistently making. And before kids, I feel like while I loved making, I lacked kind of a focused direction. And once I had kids, it just became like it moved into a place of clarity of like, I have to do this. This is the way I need to show up for myself. This is who I am. I can no longer not make art and also be okay. So it really was like a clarifying thing for me. And so I feel like that question, while I have certainly compromises on my time, it has made me a lot more driven, to make the most of that time.
Beth, compromise.
This is a tough one, because I feel like there's so many ways that I have compromised, but that I've also asked my partner to compromise on so that I can continue to pursue what I want. One of the hardest things that I think I had to compromise was my body in a lot of ways, because I had a lot of health problems after having my child. So that was, I think, the hardest, because like mentally I was like, I can do, but physically it's like, you're going to lie down and you're going to sleep and you're going to rest. And that was so hard. And then it gave me a hell of a lot of empathy for my own mom, like knowing what it must have been like for her, because she was in a wheelchair from the time I was 16 due to the stroke. And I just like remember her trying to get so much done because her mind was active, but then feeling like she couldn't. And I related to that so much more after having a kid, because there was so much that I wanted to do, but I didn't have time, or somebody needed me, or I was so physically drained that it was like very difficult to get up. So I think time, but also physically, like motherhood does a number on you. I mean, it makes you feel like you've been hit by a bus a few times. And I think that that was really difficult to grapple with, because I did half marathons. I was really into soccer. Like, I was an active little lady. And now it's not quite the same.
Tell me about some goals that you all have for your art career. What are some, like, hopes and dreams for your future? Beth?
Dreams. Art career, or like how people perceive my art?
Good one. Both. Okay. Yeah, sounds like you got something going on there.
I think my biggest dream, and I'm going to try not to cry in this one, I think my biggest dream is to change the conversation that we have around how we value mothers. Because there are a lot of ways in which we don't value them until we lose them. And through my art, I want people to, A, remember to call their mom and tell them they love them. Because when you can't anymore, it's really hard. I also hope that if we bring more value to the amount of labor that it takes to raise children, then maybe, just maybe, our moms will live longer and they'll take better care of themselves. And you won't have to go to the hospital in your prom dress because she didn't take care of herself. And if we value them, if we allow them to have 45 minutes to go to a therapy session and deal with your own shit and shovel through it a little bit, make it into some compost, plant some seeds and grow some really good stuff, then maybe we don't need to numb out as much. And then maybe it won't lead to as many health problems. And then maybe we will continue to do better. And then more people will get to experience their children for longer, and their children will see a healthier, happier model and not just a martyr. And so through my art, I really want to have that conversation, and it's hard. I'm sorry. But I want so bad for people to value us. Like, I had no idea when I became a mom how much energy, effort, physicality it takes. And I want other people to realize that and think about it and shift their perspective and say, you know what? Don't feel guilty for taking care of yourself. If you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. And like, make yourself have a partner that says, you know what? You need 45 minutes to go do whatever the fuck you want. And it's okay. And you don't have to feel like you need to be doing the dishes and you need to be doing the laundry and you need to be nursing the kid and you need to be sweeping the floor. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. That doesn't have to be the dialogue that we've been trained to speak.
Woo! We are laying it down today. I am like, who are these people? Sorry.
But, and then success, like for art career goals, I want to show more. I want to continue to make. I mainly just want to make until I'm like 90. And I just want to keep showing and making and having the conversations and talking about the hard shit and being okay with it. Didn't know we'd need a tissue box in the audience. I'm sorry.
I did. I was like, yeah, this is going to make me cry. All right. Stephanie, some goals for your art career.
I just want Beth's goals. Pass. Just that was amazing. So, okay. And I, yeah, just definitely want to echo everything that Beth shared. As far as other goals that I would love to have are just really keep, you know, I just want to keep going in my making. I just want to keep the momentum. I want to keep showing work, sharing it with the world. I would love to do residencies. Just keep putting art out there and make until my hands don't work.
And you'll pay with your feet.
And then I'll pay with my feet. I'll figure it out. I'll do some performance pieces. It'll be great. So yeah, just keep making forever. Mm.
Ty, what about you?
I want to keep making work, sharing that work. I think continue to figure out how to pay attention to my life and all the different aspects of my life. So since this work in this show, my work just sort of naturally shifted, again, out of a experience I had in my life with my family, authentically with my kids, that was like, you should probably do this thing and then go do it and don't judge yourself. And just, we made a little residency with my friend called the Residency of No Judgment, where we just like go make stuff. Nobody's allowed to say it's good or bad, like just do it.
Love it.
So I'm still sort of living into that, but I think continuing to just like authentically look at my life and be reflective and let the work come from that place, which is sort of nice to do when it's one of the benefits of being out kind of on your own, making your work. And even though it's isolating, it's nice to just be like, I'll do what I want to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you can like it or not. So I think continuing to kind of do that and share that work with other people and just, you know, be brave and
love it. All right. So I want to offer it up for any questions from our audience. You can share a specific question with one artist if you have a question about their work, or just a general question that you would like all of these artists to respond to. And if you say the question, I'll kind of repeat it so it's on the recording. The question is just asking Ty to speak to being an artist and an academic professor and how those two things have sort of worked, and a parent, how those three big roles have worked in tandem for you.
Yeah, well, for one thing, being in academia gives you an outlet and a community, but it's a specific kind. And so I was mentioning my like lack of intentional community. I think sometimes that takes the space of that. You know, you have this gift of all of these students to be with and talk to and share with, but it's kind of a different thing, and you need the other too. So I think in some ways it's been kind of a surrogate for that I need to like let go of. My time in academia has, I've had lots of different roles. And so sometimes within those roles, your creative resource is used up on other people, and it's hard to sustain your own creative practice. And then other times I feel like, ugh, I don't have time for you guys. I got to go paint. You know, like you want to grab their brush and just do it for them because you just need to like make your own work. So I think it's kind of a constant fluctuation of things. But I did want to say, with balancing my work life with my kids, etc., I think for a while there wasn't a lot of time. I kept making work and studio work when my kids were little. But I did want to say and offer up in relation to people who are in the mix with little ones right now, like mine are getting older. And I think that something I've realized is when you're juggling all these things, you can kind of move about the world in this like panicky way, like, I never have time. And I heard myself telling people like, oh, I just don't have time, or I was spending all, and I looked at my life for a minute and was like, wait, like my kids can buckle their own seatbelts. They can like tie their own shoe. Like I have time again. And I think as mothers, there's something I think we have to do, and like, you know, they shift. Our role shifts and continues to shift, and I'm sure it will. But you have to kind of sometimes take enough space to be like, am I fine now? Like, do I have more time to put into these other roles? And so as you're juggling, like recently I've realized like I can make more art, and I need to start saying like, I didn't take the time to do this thing. Not like, I didn't have the time. Mm. And in some ways that helped me recently in the last year sort of live into like, this is my choice. Like my time is my choice. Mm-hmm. This is my life. And I need to take responsibility in that, have grace with myself, but also like celebrate that like I have the privilege of like spending my time how I choose. sometimes the career of teaching will be weighing heavily on that. Sometimes I have time to work all night long if I need to in my studio, and that's on me. So I think it's just a constant reevaluating and reassessing, like, where am I? Like, are we good? Or had things changed and I'd missed it and I'm still living in this one mode?
So good.
I know. So like,
Anyone else have a question for this group or one particular artist?
I want to know why the circles. Like, what? Tell us more.
How I got to that piece?
Maybe you should describe a couple of your other pieces, because you work so singularly and conceptually, just to provide like some context.
Yeah. So I feel that this piece is, it relates to probably just one other piece that I've done, which is called Pillow Portal. And it's got the same suspension from just, you know, a fishing line. And it is also a soft sculpture, also using natural dye materials and cans to kind of create the circles inside of the stuffing. And so with Beth asked you asked about the holes in it. So with the piece Pillow Portal, that one really just started from playing with the materials themselves in my studio. So I got this pillow from, you know, my Buy Nothing group in Pittsburgh. And I had these, you know, I've really been over the last, since having kids, I mean, I've always cared about the planet. I've always cared about taking care of the earth, but it just ticked way up after having kids and wanting to do everything that I could. So I set forth a few years ago these sustainability goals, and I was like turning 36 at the time, so I always like to set goals around my birthday. I was like, I'm going to do 36 shifts towards sustainability. And so that's a big part of where I started just playing around with materials that I had in my, you know, that would otherwise be discarded. And anytime I needed something new, I would try to make it from, and those were more like functional pieces. And then I just decided, as I was trying to kind of focus my, what I, you know, focus a direction within art, because I felt, I think it's in part because I moved around so much, I felt a little like scattered and had my hands in so many things. And I really wanted to create a little more, you know, cohesion just from where I was working with cognitively in my making. And so I decided to just try to align my values of sustainability and let them bleed into my making, and decided that, all right, well, I'm not going to buy art materials. I'm going to try to really hard to not buy art materials. I'm just going to work with what I have. And yeah, so that just led me to kind of play around with things that maybe other people were trying to get rid of or that I was trying to get rid of, and kind of fuse them all together within using cans to create these holes. The shape of a circle has been important to me, and I think it also plays into the values of sustainability and trying to keep things in a closed loop system. And I had been thinking about just all of the different lenses that I've looked through in my life. And so that kind of portal, that way of looking, of viewing something, became something that I wanted to explore in my making. And, you know, thinking of the pillow, and then also this piece hanging from the ceiling, this margin expansion being kind of like a blanket, but you can't really, you're not going to want to snuggle up with something that has cans, you know? And thinking of also just time, my desires to rest, trying to find places to rest, and then rest also feels a little in suspense. You know, it's maybe it's like dangling like a carrot in front of you. So, so that's kind of some of the direction of where it's come from. And I do think that with time generally, I've always struggled with allowing myself to have margin between things that I'm trying to do all the time. And that was even prior to having kids. My mom would say to me, you need to have more margin in your life, because I was just like constantly stacking. And so this image of a margin has been something that's just stuck with me. And I decided to start exploring it. And so that this is like one way that I started to explore it.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah.
So Kelly asks Beth where she sees her work going in the future.
So I am trying to play in the studio more, which is a terrifying concept to me because I have been a very serious person since I was very small. And so I have a lot of trouble playing in the studio. Because when I get in there, I'm like, this is serious business. Like, we're getting in here, we're going to get to work. So I am about to start a series of oil on paper. I'm going to try and loosen up a little bit. I'm using some found photographs to kind of stand in as these ambiguous figures of family and kind of that narrative of memory, kind of still focusing on the same themes. But where do I see myself? I see myself more in museums. I see myself hopefully in galleries, but I don't know if my work specifically will go the gallery route. I would like it to, but I just don't know if someone will purchase my piece because it looks good above the couch, kind of. I think that some of my stuff, because it is so wrenching in a lot of ways, that it will probably be more of a museum display of thought and research and such. Like, I think that I could see that. I do want to be in all of the gallery shows, like, but I do think that I will pursue a little bit more of a museum background world. And that might be because I work in a museum. And so I'm like, this is how we think about things. Like, yes, okay. And so it seems like a clear path. But yeah, that's what I see.
Nice question, Kelly. Claire? Claire was asking Melanie, our juror, if there were specific curatorial decisions made about small groupings or vignettes within the show rather than just selecting her favorite 60 pieces.
Yes. Yes, but yes, second. So first, and we did work, Kaylin and I worked together on this, but there's the... What was interesting to witness was once the selections were made, I seemed to select in two very distinct palettes, right? There's like the, I think of it as like the passion and the quiet, or the body and the fire or something, right? Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting. And then Ellen is really the one.
I was going to say, we got to talk about Ellen.
Ellen, Ellen is the rock star artist herself who does the quiet work. I looked at your work, Ellen. It's beautiful. Yeah, she really, she was the first go around of grouping the work when it arrived at the gallery and did an excellent job. And then we tweaked and from there. So,
yeah. I know, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, I got chills when you were talking about the fire and the quiet. And I was like, hell yeah.
Because we all have the fire and the quiet.
Yes, love it. Any other audience questions? All right, well, I'm going to do our final five with our panelists really quickly to wrap up. We have to do our final five. Melanie, you've already done the final five, so... okay, so we'll go kind of down the line. Beth, okay. Biggest art crush?
Annette Newkirk.
Stephanie?
Ava Hesse.
Ty?
Cranach.
Favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on, Beth?
All of Europe.
Can't choose, right? Stephanie?
Iceland. I've been there once before in the winter. I want to go in the summer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ty?
Spain.
Tell me a book or a film that has been a great inspiration to you.
I read three books at a time. I have like a raunchy novel. I have a help myself book and a like novel to like get it lost in. I have three going. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I just listened to Untamed by Glennon Doyle. So good. Mm-hmm. I just listened to The Hookup, which is your raunchy one. And then I also listened to The Midnight Library. So good. So fascinating. They kind of talk about if you chose different things within your life, like how your life would take different shapes. And it's a very good book.
Awesome. Stephanie, film or book that has been a great inspiration to you?
Two books come to mind, and it's Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer.
Yes.
And Movement Matters by Katie Bowman. Mm.
Yeah. Ty, film or book?
Recently, I'd say The Overstory is beautiful, as we know. And The Glass Castle is also beautiful.
Yes. Okay, favorite meal, Beth?
Gumbo. There we go.
You hesitated. You hesitated on
that. Well, I went through like pasta, pizza, hamburger, gumbo, baby. There's nothing like a warm, warm bowl of gumbo when it's like a little chilly outside.
Stephanie?
Wood fire pizza. Mm.
Ty?
Anything Indian.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shout out time. Who you want to give a shout out to who supports you in your work?
First and foremost, probably my husband. My partner is insanely, insanely kind and just loving. And the artist mother community is absolutely incredible. Kaylin, not to be cheesy, but you have created so many opportunities that just didn't exist before. And I remember Googling artist mother. I was like, podcast about art, mom? And you popped up, and I listened to probably 17 episodes that week because I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So just huge shout out to you because you've created a place where people can feel seen in a very different way that creates a context. Part of social media that I loathe is that there's no context. Mm-hmm. There's a sentence and that's about it. But you've created all this gray matter in between. It's not just the black and the white. Moms have it hard. Moms have it great. It's no. Here's the context you're missing. Mm. And you get it from the perspectives that you facilitate.
Mm. The gray matter. I love that, Beth. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Stephanie, shout out.
This guy over here, my husband, Jonathan, he's just, a constant support for me. I could start crying, but he's truly wonderful. And just a consistent, I don't want to call you a cheerleader it's true. And Danila Remold, my first mentor from the Crit Group with Artist Mother. She was I felt instantly so seen by somebody in a truly transformational way. And so thank you, Danila. And definitely the Artist Mother community as well, that also facilitated my relationship with her. And my immediate family, my parents, Wayne and Carol, and my sister, Katie.
Ty, shout out.
Yeah. My husband's also very supportive and keeps me, my direct opposite in life and, keeps me moving forward in a way that I wouldn't be able to do on my own for sure. And my kids are just shockingly supportive and lovely. So all of the things with the kids, sometimes I think they're just really amazing. And so it's, I guess, for them being supportive and not even kind of coexisting with me, not even knowing this is a big thing to try to keep in the air. They're just there for me, so I appreciate them.
Okay, and last but not least, where can people find you? What's your website, Instagram? Tell us where to connect with your work and see more. Ty?
Sure. My website is my name, tylipan.com, and Instagram is the same, tylipan. Keeping it easy for you, but check out the new shift in the work and tell me what to do and help me fix it. And I might or might not listen to you, but it would be helpful.
Stephanie, where can people find out more about you and your work?
It's pretty straightforward as well. StephanieZito.com, but I am Steph with an F. So, and then for Instagram, it's _StephanieZito.
And Beth?
And I'm at Beth Welch Studio, and then my website is Beth Welch Art. I'm a little less cut and dry because there are lots of people named Beth Welch, apparently. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. Thanks for being here. Look at them all. They're getting their phones out and following you. I love it. And again, a special thank you to ArtLink for hosting. We love you guys. Thanks for being here.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.